Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachos Daf Nun Zayin. We begin on Nun Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, connecting to yesterday's discussion. One is not allowed to make a mincha chametz. So mincha material, whether the chametz, whether the leftovers, are meant to be non-chametz. So if one actually makes it into chametz, he's chayev and he gets malchus. Amar Abami. What if he doesn't mix the yeast into the mincha, he just puts it on top? Does that really generate a proper chametz? Is that considered a violation? Is that considered having made chametz to the point that he's liable to malchus? Amar Abami, hiniach se'or al gabi isa. So the fellow put the se'or, which is the leavening agent, on top of the dough, instead of inside, just placed it on the surface. Malachu yashalai and went and took a seat and watched the mincha turn into chametz on its own without him actually inputting, without him actually, you know, being actively involved in making the chimutz. And this chametz me'aleh, it happened on its own chayv, he's also chayv aleh. Where do we find a similar concept? Kemasa Shabbos, like on Shabbos. Person places a piece of meat on the coals and walks away. He did no more than just placing it on the coals, and then it gets roasted. He's chayiv. Now, Tosfos points out, obviously, taking dough and putting it in an oven to bake is certainly considered a melacha on Shabbos. Because there, says Tosfos, the bread gets properly baked. But just placing something on coals doesn't have that same profound, you know, permeating effect. Nevertheless, just like by Shabbos he's chayiv, the same thing with the fellow who made the mincha into chametz by just placing the seor on top rather than mixing it inside, he's chayiv. Ask the Gemara, really, but in this type of circumstance on Shabbos, he's not chayiv. U'masa Shabbos ka'gavda mi'machayiv? Is that really true that if you would do a similar masa, just placing, you know, the meat on the coals, ka'gavda, this type of arrangement mi'machayiv, would it be liable on Shabbos? We don't think so. V'amar Rabba, Bar Bar Chana, he quoted Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hiniach Baso Gabi Yechalim. Okay, this exact case, a fellow places meat on the coals, he's not automatically chayav. It depends. He has to turn it over to facilitate a proper roast, so the fire reaches all sides. Hifach Ba, if he turns it over from one side to the other, chayav, then he's chayav, because the entire piece of meat from side to side was cooked, was roasted. Lo yefach boy pater. He just leaves it as is, doesn't turn it over, he's pater. And here we're saying just merely placing the sar on the isa and leaving it alone would be chayev. Amar Rava, my chayev nami deko amar kemaset klishol Shabbos. Sure, on Shabbos, he wouldn't be chayev unless he properly, you know, attends to the piece of meat on all sides. Because otherwise, it's not considered a properly cooked piece of meat. We're going to see soon. The Gemara will explain why. Because we're talking that it doesn't really cook properly. It's only a third cooked. It's called Kemachal Ben Drisoi, like the robber. His name was Ben Drisoi. He would just eat his meat very, you know, like raw, half raw, rare. He's always in a rush. So, just getting it to that point on one side doesn't suffice. It has to be through and through. If it's properly cooked, yeah. Even one side works, but if it's, you know, just barely cooked, then it has to be through and through. That's the halacha, to be considered a proper cook. But that's by Shabbos. But by chametz, says Rashi, the mere placement of the seor on the surface already has a profound effect on the entire, it permeates the entire dough, and it makes it chametz, and therefore it's chayav. So just as a proper tzli, a proper roast on Shabbos is chayav, likewise over here, merely placement is chayiv as well. Gufam Rav Ruchan Rav Yechon, let's go back to this halach and review it. Hiniach basar gabicho. Okay, it's on Shabbos, he placed the basar on the coals. Hifech bo chayiv, right? Lo hifech bo potter. So he's only chayiv if he was mahapech, if he flipped it from side to side, and the entire piece of meat from side to side was processed. Now, Echidomi, what exactly happened? Why is this a precondition for liability? What's Rabbi Yechanan's lesson here? If without flipping it, it would not properly cook, and pshita, obviously, it's not chayim. We would just know that on our own. It's obvious. Ela diloy mehapichle, na miyaba bashal. Oh, so perhaps we're speaking that even without flipping it, it would still cook. Amai loy mechayim. So why is he not chayiv? If he doesn't flip it, it's a malach. It's richa. It must be speaking like this. It's going to get partially affected. Diloy hifech bay. If he wouldn't flip it from side to side, ave bashal mitzadech. So the side that's facing the flame would get affected, but slightly, like we learned before, the level of macham and rishoy, which is a third cooked. Technically, it's considered mevushal, but it's not a proper cook. So now when he flips it, the other side as well gets affected in the same manner. It reaches the point of macham and rishoy, and the point of Rabbi Yechon is to teach us that only in this manner, when it's fully Macham and Risoi, is it considered a bishul? So again, if it's properly cooked, even one side would suffice, but if it's just barely, has to be through and through to be considered a proper cooking. The Kamash, from the point of the halacha was, Techom mitzadech, if it's merely on one side, Kamacham and Risoi, only a third cooked, like klumu. It's not reckoned with. Amar Rava, so Rava adds, Vim nislaboy kigregeres mitzadech, v'makam echad chayev. However, if it was properly nitzle, properly roasted, and properly edible, Rashi said, Tzliya Gemura, fully roasted, even on one side, even in one spot, if it's Kigra Geras, the size, the volume of a dried fig, which is the volume that determines a malacha on Shabbos, if he processed food to this extent, this volume is considered a malacha, therefore he's chayev. Amar Ravina Ravashi, why are you specifying that it has to be a Gregaris volume of meat in one spot? That's only if it's in one spot, one contiguous, piece of meat. It's dispersed. A little bit here, a little bit here. If you combine it, you get the required volume. Does that work? You mean to say it doesn't? We have a Mishnah elsewhere regarding Malach on Shabbos. You could combine to get you to the desired total. Hakadech kol shu chayev. One sort of makes a hole, a drill. A teeny hole is chayev. Hechidami, now, what happened here? Ilay b'makam echad. You just made one spot kol shu maichazi. What benefit does he have from a little hole? He can't use it. So why is that a malacha? It's not a functional, endeavor. El ala b'shnayim b'shleishim makamis. Oh, apparently the Mishnah is speaking that he drilled a little here, a little there, a little there. The Chazal Tziruf. That, and the reason why it's chayiv, even though each individual hole on its own is really not functional, but you can combine them. Rashi explains that the carpenters, when they had to make a big hole, apparently they didn't have these big bits like we have today, so they would drill three holes next to each other and then sort of open them into each other, and you get yourself a big hole. So there's a combined goal here, a combined purpose, and that's why he's chayv. Okay, so clearly the Mishnah is speaking that you can be chayv for just little holes provided next to each other because of the tziruf factor, because you can combine them. So the same should be regarding roasting a piece of meat. If you did a little spot properly roasted, another little spot properly roasted, you can be mitzarev them to get you to the gregeris shear and have him be chayev. Loi, loi, makam echad. No, your raif on the mission of the drill is not real. Perhaps they were speaking that he made just one single solitary teeny hole. As per your question, what's the purpose? What's the benefit? The chazal above aklida. It's good for a keyhole. The lashon shemafteach, the tip of the tooth of the key can fit in there, and you can use it to open and close the door. There's another version of this halach. So according to this version, Rava maintains that the shear of roasting a gorgeras of meat only works if it's one in one location, one gorgeras in the same spot. However, there's another version of Amar Rava. Afilu b'shnayim shlishim makomos. You could combine several, spots of roasted meat and sort of get you to the total of gorgeras and have them be chayv. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rashi, I'll prove your case from the Mishnah. Afanan Amitanin, we have the same in the Mishnah. Gedech kol shel chayv. He draws this little teeny hole. It's chayv. Hey chedami, what happened here? Eilem makim echad kol shel maychaz. If it's just one spot, what's this teeny hole? A kol shel. What's that going to serve him? Ela b'shnayim shlishim makomos. Apparently, he did a couple of holes next to each other, chazotziv, which can be combined to serve a common purpose. So you see that combining is a valid approach when it comes to determining the quantity of a malacha on Shabbos. Same with the meat. Loi, no, says the malach. You can't really prove. Perhaps over there we're speaking that he made one single hole in one spot, the chazal above aklida, which is useful for the key. But who says that you can, combine otherwise? Okay, so now we sort of veered off a little bit into halachas of cooking on Shabbos. So the epitome is properly roasted, right? Legamre. And a shear gorgeras would be chayiv. Can you combine to get you the gorgeras? That's the two versions that we have. One sheet of Rava says so, the other version says no. And if it's merely partially roasted, like macha ben drusoy, in that case, Rabbi Yechon says, he's still chayiv, provided that it goes through and through from one side to the other of the piece of meat. Tan Rabbanu, so back now to the halacha of refraining from making the mincha chametz. So we have the pasuk. Let's just read the pasuk first. Kol mincha shatakriv l'Hashem, all the mincha that you're going to be marked to Hashem, lo yisi'asa chametz, it can't be made chametz, right? Ki chal soir, chal dvash, lo yisak tiru, imenu yishal Hashem, because soir, which is chametz, and honey, sweets, cannot be brought on the mizbeach. The Gemara will analyze this pasuk and teach us a total of four halachis. Tan Rabban, ilu nemar shatakriv l'Hashem, lo yisi'asa chametz. If the pasuk would merely say, anything which you are makriv to Hashem, don't make chametz. Instead of saying kol amincha, asher tikriv l'Hashem, Yisi Omer, at that point I would say, ein li b'lo yisasei chametz al chametz b'lvad. The isra of making chametz only pertains to the part that's asher tikriv l'Hashem, which goes on his back, which is the chametz. What about the entire mincha? Mincha b'nayin. Tamalei mincha. That's why the pasuk says kol amincha. So even the mincha, before the chametz was separated, is already covered by the Isra. Now, this pasuk is speaking about a specific mincha, minchas mar cheshes, or deep-fried mincha. So how do we know that this prohibition applies to all minchas equally? Shar minchas b'nai tam, aloy mar kol, kol ha-mincha, kol is full coverage, all minchas. Now, the pasuk says, asha tekrivi l'Hashem, we learn from there, k'sherer le'psula. The Isra of chimutz is specific to a mincha which is fit, which is suitable for akrova, as opposed to a mincha which became pasal, let's say left the area, it was pasal, because of yaitse, then there's no isra of chimitz. Mikan amru. So based on this we learn, hamach mitzas akshera chay, if one takes a mincha akshera, which is suitable for akrova, it makes a chametz chay, but not if it's pasal, vas apsula, pat. By rapapa, comes rapapa with a question. Suppose he takes a proper mincha, chimitz, and makes it into chametz. So that in itself, it disqualifies the mincha from further use, right? Then he took it out of the vicinity, he took it out of the Beis HaMikdash. And then, when it was back, he made it chametz again. Which means to say, he processed it, and he continued the, developing the chametz, forming it, etc., like we learned yesterday. Now, what's the status of the second person? Kiven the Yotzisa, if Sila Labi Yotzisa, shall we say, look, once it left the premises, it was affected by Yaitse, became pasul. So it was relabeled as a mincha psula. So now when the fellow comes back and adds the chimutz, he's not chayv because he was dealing with disqualified material, which had left the Beis HaMikdash and then came back. He wouldn't be chayv mishum machametz achar machametz for adding the chimutz because it was pasul. Or we can say, no, that exemption wouldn't apply in this case. You know why? Because this mincha underwent several stages. It was made into chametz, and then it left the area. Now, technically, once it was made into chametz, it's already pasul. So it's already pasul. It's not going to get affected and made more pasul by leaving the area. So in terms of the cause of the first psul, which is chimutz, we already know that adding to it and developing to it is chayev. You know, if you take a mincha which is pasul for another reason, and you make it chametz, you're pater, as we just concluded. But taking a mincha and turning it into chametz, and then developing that chametz further, the second fellow is chayev, even though he was dealing with a mincha which was chametz and already pasul, because it was chametz, because the psul, the cause is the chametz. And the Torah clearly stipulates that any stage of developing that mincha which is chametz is chayev. We don't say, well, it's a mincha psul or your pot. You don't say that. It doesn't have that exemption. So perhaps here as well. Or Edom given the chimtza once. He made it chametz to begin with. It's already possible for akrav. Psul yoytil mahanibe. So it wasn't really adversely affected by leaving the area. So we sort of ignore that event. We simply view it as a mincha which is chametz. No, what happens to a mincha which is chametz? V'chi yohada machmetz. And then when he add the chimtza to that mincha again, surely it's chayev. Mechayev lo mishu mechametz achar mechametz. Like we learned yesterday, take it, we leave it unresolved. Interesting question. By Rav Mori. Here comes another question. Chimtza b'reish shem mizbeach. So he took the chametz of a proper mecha, brought it to the mizbeach, and it's now on top, about to be burned on the fire. And then he made a chametz right then and there. Ma, what's the status? Pasuk says asher takriv amrachmonet. Pasuk says mincha, which is asher takriv, which you're going to be offering on the mizbeach, that shouldn't be turned into chametz. But this is done. It's already up there. Well, akriva, you already accomplished that. So perhaps there's no longer a liability. Oidilmo, or you can say, no, it's not yet done. It was delivered to the location, but wasn't yet burnt in Mizbeach. It's still lacking that, missing that state, that step. Oidilmo, mechusar Torah. The fact that it's not yet been burnt, ki mechusar masadam, it's missing a significant step in the process. So it's not considered like it's already there. And the pasuk l'asher takriv, which you're going to be makrib, still applies to this because it's still before the fact. And therefore, if you make it chametz, it's chayv, take it again, we leave it standing unresolved. Continues the Gemara. Okay. V'ashtod nafkle mikol ha-mincha. So once we know from the words kol ha-mincha that the isra of chimutz applies not just to the chametz, it applies to the entire mincha before the chametz as well. So then why does the pasuk have to add asher takrivu, which sort of alludes to only the part that's going on in Mizbeach? If we say chimutz applies to everything, so what's the point of asher takrivu? Lomeli, what's the point of those words? Says the Gemara, it's needed for something else. Miboyle, look at the sanya, it's needed for the next price, which begins with these words, asher takrivu. What's it adding? L'rabbis minchas nesachem l'chimutz. So, you know, your standard mincha has two parts. The chametz on the mizbeach, and the shirayim to the kohanim. What about minchas which don't necessarily have these two phases? Minchas nesachim, for instance. That's the mincha which accompanies a carbon. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach. Nothing goes to the kohanim. So perhaps chimutz doesn't apply there. No, ashat akrivu. Even a mincha which is completely burnt on the mizbeach, like the minchas nesachim, is also covered by the isser, don't make it chametz. Divrei, whose sheet is there? Rabbi Yisak Levi. So he says, minchas nesachim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says something else. L'rabbis lechem aponim l'chimutz. The pasuk here is adding lechem aponim. So although there's no act of kmitza on the lechem aponim, right? The breads are placed on the shulchan with the levina, which is then put on the mizbeach. There's no kmitza, something being separated from the actual breads. So it's lacking that element. There's nothing of it that's technically going on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, it's covered by the isra of chimutz, and again, that's covered by the pasuk asher takriv. So, just for clarity, again, Rabbi Kiva refers the pasuk to lechem aponim, Rabbi Saglili to the minchas nesachim. Ask the Gemara, minchas nesachim, how could you say, according to Rabbi Yehi Saglili, is there isra of chametz on minchas nesachim? How would it become chametz? May Peir saying, there's no water in there, it's mixed with oil. May Peir means like fruit juice, water. Liquid is used, so it wouldn't become umei peres amud beis umei peres emachmitzen. We know that doesn't facilitate chimutz. It doesn't make the dough rise. What would be the problem? Amar Shlokish answers the Gemara. His opinion was that menchas and sachem, although technically it doesn't require anything other than oil, megavlu b'mayim k'shera. You could actually mix a little water in there, it's okay. So that would be the instance, that would be the setting where there is a chametz concern. Okay, ask the Gemara on the other shita now. So going to Rabbi Akiva, we covered lechem aponim, watch it from becoming chametz. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that there's an isra of making lechem aponim chametz? You know, the isra only applies to material which is deemed, you know, carbon material. But lechem aponim never got that status while it was being processed, until it was actually put on the shulchan, which is a klisharis, then it becomes kaddish. But until that point, they would use, you know, containers which weren't kaddish. The Gemara soon calls it klei hayavish. Containers which are meant to measure up and deal with dry materials, they're not kaddish in the basin. Even though, you know, so that mincha, that lechem aponim was not yet kaddish throughout the process until it was placed on the shulchan. So why are we warning you against making it chametz, which only applies to mincha material, to carbon material, which has kedusha, which the lechem aponim doesn't have while it's being processed and baked? Ask the Gemara, lechem aponim midas yavashi. Lechem aponim was processed using containers for dry materials. V'shamane l'Rabbi Akiva, we know that Rabbi Akiva holds the Amar midas yavash l'niskacha. Midas yavash didn't have kedusha, so the material wasn't yet deemed susceptible to chimutz. So why is it covered by the isra of chimutz? Shalach Rabin, Mishmed Rabbi Yechon, he explains like this. Kachi atzor shel Mishnah. Ve'efuch. Let me give you the correct version of the brisa. Let's flip around the names. So now Rabbi Kiva, in fact, is in line with his opinion. Because instead of Rabbi Kiva referring to lechem aponim, which we just concluded is no concern according to him, he refers to the minchas nesachim as a concern. Whereas according to Rabbi Seglili, the lechem aponim is a concern, because according to him, even midas yavesh has kedusha, and lechem aponim has kedusha while it's being processed, hence the chimutz concern. So ve'efach, again, we flip around the names. Brisa begins with ashat akrivu, which is coming to add, to expand the isra of chimutz onto something else. So either it's l'rabis lechem aponim l'chimutz, that's who divrei Rabbi Seglili, Rakiva Oyim, l'rabis minchas nesachim l'chimutz. Okay, so now we reconciled this issue. V'az the Rabbi Yechonu tamei, now Rabbi Yechonu taught us that according to Rabbi Seglili, midos of yavesh have kedusha. Unlike Rakiva says it doesn't, he says it does. So Rabbi Yechonin is in line with his statement elsewhere, which was Damar Rabbi Yechonon, that Rabbi Seglili, who holds that midas yavesh has kedusha, and another chacham ve'echad, one of the students of Rabbi Yishmael, his name is Rabbi Yashia, also held that view. Ve'echad tamid Rabbi Yishmael, they both concurred on the same point. Umani, who was the other person? Rabbi Yashia. The Sani, where do we find Rabbi Yashia's opinion that clay yavesh have kedusha? So the pasuk speaks about when they sanctified the kelim in the midbar, they anointed them, made them kaddish, and in turn they affect their content and make them kaddish as well. Which utensils? Liquid ones or the dry ones? Rabbi Yashia, Oymar midas halach, the ones that deal with liquids, nimshach bein mibifnim bein bachutz, was anointed inside and out, as kedusha on both sides. But midas yavesh, nimshach mifnim ve'en nimshach machutz. By yavesh was only inside, not outside, but it has kedusha, which fits with Rabbi Seglili, who also says midas yavesh has kedusha. Let's continue the brayso. Rabbi Yonasan Oymar, he disagrees. He says like Rabbi Akiva, right? That the midas yavesh has no kedusha at all. Midas halach nimshach mibifnim ve'en nimshach machutz. When it comes to midas halach, that's meant to hold liquids, that has kedusha inside, but not on the backside, on the outside. Midas yavesh, l'mshach al'ika by yavesh, there's no kedusha at all. I'll even prove it to you. Tevilcha says, Rabbi Yonasan, that midas yavesh have no kedusha. Tevilcha sharei ein mekadeshes, because we know that the midas yavesh, the ones meant to handle, you know, flour and all that, had no kedusha. D'chsev, because when it comes to the carbon of the two breads, this is the shtei lechem brought on Shavuos, the pasuk reads, "Mimoy shvei seichem taviu lechem tnufa." right? Bring your bread. Shtaim, shnei esroinim, seilos tiyana chomes teyafeno. And then after the baking, it calls it bikurim l'Hashem, an offering to Hashem. Why only after the baking? Apparently that's when it gets kedusha, because that's when it was put into the holy oven, which we gave it kedusha. But until that point, all the handling with the kelim did not give it kedusha, because midas hayavish have no kedusha. Imo saying l'Hashem, when is it designated and labeled as l'Hashem? Only l'achashenefa, after the baking process, but not before. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, klei hayavish have no kedusha at all. According to Rabbi Yashia, they do. They do on the inside, not on the outside. But Mike, what's this dispute rooted in? Well, it's in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayimshachem mekadesh oisam. He was mekadesh them. Them is excluding something else. What is it coming to rule out? Rabbi Yeshua Sabar oisam means lemutim midas yavash bachutz. That these kelim, the Pasuk speaking about, the midas halach, the ones that are meant to handle the liquids, are kadosh inside and out, but by midas hayavesh, only the inside, not the out, not the outside. So there is kedusha, but only on the inside. That's Rabbi Yashi's opinion. Rabbi Yonasan Sabar, he takes a different route. Midas hayavesh cholu, litzur cholim ute. He says midas hayavesh, there's no reason to think they're kadosh. Torah doesn't have to, rule them out. Ki istur cholim ute midas lachem bachus, the pasuk is excluding even by midas halach, the liquid containers, that only the interior is kaddish, but not the outside. So Rabbi Yechanan lined up, Rabbi Saglili with Rabbi Ashtia. They both held Amir Asayavish have kedusha. Now, why did he not line up Rabbi Kiva with Rabbi Yonasan, who both hold that Amir Asayavish have no kedusha? Leim Manami could have also said that Rabbi Kiva, Ve'echad, and one of the students of Rabbi Shmuel, which is Rabbi Yonasan, Ve'echad, and Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Da'Ve'echad, they both concurred on the same point. Umani, who is that person, Rabbi Yonasan? That Midas HaYavash have no Kedusha. Why didn't he line them up? The answer is because there's some discrepancy between the two. True, they're both on the same page regarding Midas HaYavash, that has no Kedusha, but by Midas HaLach, there's a difference. Mishum Deloy Shavu, Midas Lach Le'Galadadi. They don't fully agree with each other regarding the status of Midas HaLach. Because according to Rabbi Yonasan, it has kedusha on the inside, not the outside. According to Rabbi Kiva, later on, Daf Tzadik, we'll see the midas halach will kaddish inside and out. So there's a difference, and therefore they're not really fully lined up. Okay. So let's just refresh a little bit. We had a pasuk Ashet HaKrivu, an extra phrase covering some added scenario, some extra type of offering, and instructing us to avoid chimut there as well. Either it was meant to avoid mechas nesachim, or the Yalechem HaPanim. And we concluded the only reason why there would be a concern about Yalechem HaPanim is because it already has Kedusha. How would it have Kedusha if you hold that the dry materials, as the flowers, etc., become Kaddish through the Midas HaYavish? But otherwise, if Midas HaYavish don't have Kedusha and don't endow Kedusha on their content, there's no concern about Yalechem HaPanim, because it's not yet kaddish until it's fully baked, which is past any chimutz, attempts. Amar Rav Papa Abaye, I have a question, says Rav Papa Abaye, but you could be said delachu. You're right, dry containers perhaps don't pose a concern. But what about the visa, the bowl in which they mix the flour and they prepare the dough for lechem upon them? That's technically, liquid material. Okay? And so once it gets to that point, and it was placed in a bowl which is meant to hold and process liquids, certainly the dough becomes kaddish. So back to square one. You're right. If it would come into contact with the bisa, then all agree there's a problem because it's already kaddish, and if you make it... We're speaking that he avoided the bisa. He just mixed the flour on some sort of... piece of like a skin, a hide, some sort of flat area, which was not a kli. Okay, so use some sort of mat, which does not give the lechem kedusha. Yachid said, "Well, if that's the case, that the determining factor is whether he mixed it in a bowl or on a mat." So let's backstep a little bit. Rabbi Yonasan made his point. that Kli Yavish are not going to be Makadish, and he proved it from the Shtei Alechem. That was his right. Shtei Alechem are not really Kaddish until they're baked. Apparently, up until that point, they had no Kaddish because Kli Hayavish, the dry, the Kanim that are meant to deal with dry materials, are not Kaddish, not Makadish. But maybe the Pasuk speaking, maybe really Kli Hayavish is Makadish, okay? So the Yisoran container in the base of English has Kedusha. Maybe it does. The reason why they're Shtei Alechem in this instance is not Kaddish, because it happens that they avoided the Yisoran in the container, which is Kaddish. They decided to use a private Yisoran, a private container, circumstantially. So they avoided any contact, any interaction with the Klei Sharis. And that's why the Pasuk speaks of it, speaks about it being unholy until the baking process. So you haven't really proven anything from here in terms of what the status of a Kli Yavish in the Beis HaMikdash is. Maybe it has Kedusha, but in this case they didn't use it. Just like Lachem HaPanim, you tell me they avoided the Bisa, so perhaps over here they avoided the Kli Yisari. Yochid, the Kamala Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda turned to his to Rabbi Yashin, he says, Teidochosh HaReinim Kadesh, I'll prove to you Kli Yavish has no Kedusha from the story of the Shtei Alechem, the Pasuk regards them as non-Kedusha. Lema, he could have responded, going to Chaylo, but Yisar and the Chaylo was speaking circumstantially. They measured it up with a privately owned Yisarin. And that's why it's not Kaddish. Says the Gemara, it's unlikely. Hachi Yashta. How could you suggest that? Because Bishlam Mebisa Lekas Rachman, I understand when it comes to a bowl, Torah doesn't instruct us to use a holy bowl. You don't have to use a bowl. There's no way in the Torah that you have to use a bowl to make lisha, to mix the dough. Okay? So, you can just as well use a mat. So if you use the mat for the lisha, there's no issue, and that's what happened. So it wasn't yet Kaddish. Eli Yisore, but in the case of the you didn't need to measure it up in a Yisorin. Kivat Amar Rachmana Avid Yisorin Mechayel Beit. And since the Torah instructs us to make a Yisorin, you have to get the right measurement, you have to have a proper Yisorin to know how big your mincha is. It's got to be a Yisorin measurement in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's unlikely you would have sidestepped the holy one and used your private one. That's unlikely. Shavak Yisorin, the Kodesh, he would just neglect the sanctified Yisorin, the sanctified container which is ready made for this purpose, v'chayil b'yisorin d'chayil, and use a chayil Yisorin, that wouldn't be a proper approach. So we presume they use the Yisorin of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah still considers the Shtei Alechem to be chayil until baking. Apparently the reason is because Yisorin, which is a Kli Hayavish, is not Mekadosh. Okay, so let's just recap. We have the various halachas regarding being mechametz at mincha. It applies to the kaimetz, it applies to the whole mincha. Even before the kmitza took place, yesterday we learned about the shrine as well. It only applies to mincha, which is kasher, and it applies to all types of menachos. Ashat akriva comes to add minchas nesachim, according to one opinion, or minchas lechem apanim, according to the other opinion. And this sort of got us into the whole discussion regarding which kelim have kedusha. All of Ribi does halach have kedusha, but does hayavish is a machlekes. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, we sort of veer off into a slightly different topic now, which is actually rooted in the same pasuk, but unrelated to chimutz. See, the pasuk says, "Kol amincha shatakriv laHashem lesiasa chametz." And then it says, "Kichol sor v'chadvash loy saktiru mimenu ish el Hashem." From these last words, this last phrase, "saktiru mimenu," we learn that leftovers cannot be put on the mizbeach. They have no place on the mizbeach. So, a carbon from which something was removed and put on the mizbeach, like the kaimetz of a mincha, or the dam of a carbon, or the chaylov of a carbon, now the leftover material cannot be placed on a mizbeach. There's a special law forbidding that. Shiraim, off the mizbeach. Tana Rabbanan, menayin lamalam b'sar chatas, b'sar oshem, b'sar kachet kashem. What if a fellow takes the bash of the flesh, leftover flesh, or chatas of the oshem of kachet kadoshem, or mekachem kal, umaisra oimer, leftovers of the oimer mincha, after the kmitza was put on the mizbeach, umaisra shtei alecha. Umalacham aponim, shiur menachas, all these leftovers, materials which are meant to be consumed by kehanim, etc. He puts it on the mizbeach. He violated a lav. Shubalai says, how do we know it's a lav? Tamalaymar, that pasuk. Ki chol sor v'chodvash. Lo yisaktiru mimenu ishal Hashem. We learn. Mimenu ishal Hashem. If something had been separated from it to the mizbeach, whatever's left behind, lo yisaktiru, you may not put on the mizbeach. Leftovers don't belong on the mizbeach. Kol shu mimenu l'ishem. Any material, any carbon, from which something was taken to the mizbeach, so the leftovers, Harayu Bataktir, Bataktir applies to that, you can't put it on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, but on your list, you have Shtei Alechem, you have Lechem upon him. There's no Kmitza. There's nothing technically separated from these and put on the Mizbeach. So why is it covered by the same Pasuk? It's not something which is Mimenolation. V'yashtei Alechem v'lechem upon him, Yesh Menolation? Do you take anything from these and put on the mizbeach? By the time you have a brisa regarding a different halacha, you also shtei alechem v'lechem upon him. Sheim em le'ishim. No, these two items have no contribution to the mizbeach. Rav Sheshi says, "Megufa le'ishim." You're 100% right. There's nothing broken off, you know, from the shtei alechem and put on the mizbeach, or from the lechem upon him. In that sense, it's different than a mincha, which has a kmitza, which is taken on the mizbeach, and then you have leftovers left behind. Here, you don't have that. Nevertheless, there is a component of Le'ishim. There is something of this package, of the Shtei Alechem package, of the Lechem Aponim package, which goes on the Mizbeach. And it's considered a sort of representative of the broader carbon of the Shtei Alechem or Lechem Aponim. And it's considered as though you took part of them and put it on the Mizbeach. Like what? Like by the Shtei Alechem, it comes with the sheep, the two kvasim which we discussed, the shlamims. And since part of those kvasim, the chelev, are put in the mizbeach, it is considered like the Shtei Alechem have contributed to the mizbeach as well. Same with the lechem upon, even though technically you don't rip off a piece of bread, but it comes with levoina, and that is put in the mizbeach. So the lechem upon is not considered as though it contributed something to the mizbeach, and it's considered leftovers, and covered by this pasuk of kol shem imenu l'ishim, harihu bal taktir. Okay, but Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. All the best to you, and that's Lacharach.